Join me in prayer, if you would. Father, I pray that during our time together this morning that you might open up our hearts and minds to your wonderful word. We just praise you, Lord, for what you've revealed to us in Romans so far. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd continue to illuminate our hearts and our minds and that we might take the words and apply them to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as our habit has been for the last couple of months, as we've been in a wonderful group of verses, as we've gone through the study of Romans, we're in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. So if you would, turn with me to Romans 3, verses 21 through 26. And if you'll follow along with me, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." When I first started the study of these particular verses, I quoted Leon Morris, the theologian, who said that perhaps this is the greatest paragraph that was ever written. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that someone mentioned that these verses are the acropolis of Christianity, the apex. Without a doubt, Paul in these particular verses communicates the gospel in all its beauty and majesty. These verses not only contain rich doctrines, but as John Stott mentions in his commentary, they display the cross in three different ways. We've already seen two of these displays in the rich doctrinal truths that Paul outlines in these verses. The first doctrine was the doctrine of justification. In the cross of Jesus Christ, we can be found just, acceptable before a holy and righteous God as He imputes the righteousness of Christ to us through the gift of Jesus Christ. In addition, we learned another doctrinal word, which is propitiation, which I covered last week. Propitiation means to appease. Jesus Christ, through His gift of the cross, was an appeasement, was a propitiation. Christ took on the wrath that was meant for you and me, and He took it upon Himself upon the cross of Jesus Christ. That's two ways that the cross was displayed. And today we'll see the third way in verse 25 and 26. The final display of the cross was the demonstration of the righteousness of God. Look at 25 and 26 again. It says, "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." The cross was a demonstration to a lost and dying world of the righteousness of God. How was it a demonstration? We're going to look at several different areas that point out that it was a demonstration. The first thing that I'd like to point out is that the demonstration was public. It was public. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ wasn't performed in a private room. You know, when we have executions these days, they're private. You just can't go to Huntsville and say, hey, I want to watch an execution. There has to be a reason that you're in there, as we have executions in our penal system. Not so with Jesus Christ. His crucifixion was public. It was very public. And in fact, if you look with me in John, the 19th chapter, starting in verse 17, it says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull," which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, "where they crucified him and two others with him on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" Why did he put a sign on the cross? It was public. The demonstration of the righteousness of God wasn't held in secret. It was in public. Second of all, it was personal. It was personal. And by saying personal, I'm saying that it was personal to Jesus Christ. The demonstration of the righteousness of God was personal. You can find out what I mean by looking at Matthew 27, verse 39. And I want to point out, as we read those verses, all the groups that blasphemed Jesus Christ. In verse 39, it says, "And those who passed by," why were they passing by? Because it was a very busy road. "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" The public blasphemed Christ personally. In verse 41, we can see where the religious establishment blasphemed Christ. In 41, it says, "Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.'" So the public personally blasphemed Christ. The religious establishment personally blasphemed Christ. And then in verse 44, it says, "Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." And then finally in verse 45, as you see that Jesus Christ endured the cross and paid our sin debt and endured the wrath of God, it says in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" All of this was done in public. It was a public and personal demonstration of the righteousness of God. Not only was it public and personal, but that public and personalness of the cross, it was shameful. It was shameful. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." It was a public and personal display of the righteousness of God. It was also punctual. Now, what do I mean by that? It was punctual. Well, if you look back at our focal passage, in verse 26, it said, that it was to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. To demonstrate at the present time. In fact, it said that in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time. We'll get to that first part in just a moment, but I want to talk about time. Christ came at the perfect time. He was punctual. In Galatians 4:4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Back in 2013, I preached a sermon titled, "Jesus is Right on Time." In fact, if you go to our website, you go to our sermon, and you type time, that message will come up. And what it dealt with was the prophecy according to Daniel. And I illustrate in the sermon that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem exactly as the prophecy of Daniel said He would. He was right on time, in the fullness of time. The demonstration happened exactly when it was supposed to, in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God demonstrated His righteousness. And I think that we can understand that more completely as I'd like to point out that the demonstration of the righteousness of God is profitable. Is profitable. If you look back at our focal passage, it says that God set forth, in verse 25 of Romans 3, God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. What does it mean, sins that were previously committed? And I'll tell you right now that you can read differing commentary on this particular verse until you are blue in the face. But the answer, it's not complicated. The answer is very simple if you just look at the text. In verse 25, it says that God had set forth, referring to Jesus, as a propitiation by His blood. And when you think about sins that in His forbearance that He had passed over sins that were previously committed. If you think about what propitiation is, as I mentioned before, propitiation is the appeasing the wrath of God. Well, who does, if you think about this, who does God need to be appeased for in His wrath? Who is Christ appeasing? And it's easy to think about that in our life as we look back at the cross. Jesus Christ was paying my sin debt, all of my sins, and He was paying for all of the wrath. He was the propitiation for all of the wrath that was meant for me, that was meant for you. It's easy to think about it in those particular terms, as from the cross to the future. If you're starting at the cross, from the gospel going forward after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ appeased, He was the propitiation for His elect. For His elect. In other words, He endured the wrath of God for everyone's name who was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now, it's easy to think about that in our life, right? Anyone that lived post-cross and resurrection. But we do know that there were Old Testament saints, right? Just as Hebrews 11 points out, that there were Old Testament saints that, just like Abraham, who had a believing faith. Well, when you think about the wrath of God is only paid in two ways. It's paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ, right? Or people endure the wrath of God in hell. So as we think about the wrath of God being paid for by Jesus Christ for those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you look back at the verse 25 and it says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. That's Old Testament saints. That's Old Testament saints. Because remember, the wrath of God is paid for only in two ways. At the cross or in hell. So when Jesus Christ appeared on the cross and paid our sin debt, not only was He paying for all of those people who would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ until He returns, He also went backwards and paid for the wrath and the sin debt for Old Testament saints. And He did this to display His righteousness. He paid every believer's sin debt and endured the wrath that was meant for you and me. And He did it exactly. He did it exactly. In fact, if you look at Hebrews 9, verse 11, it says, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. But now look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In other words, Old Testament saints that went through the sacrificial system, they were ceremonially clean, but an animal sacrifice in no way paid their sin debt. That had to be paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. So until the cross of Jesus, God in His forbearance passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. So the cross of Jesus Christ is our justification. We're found just in the cross through the debt that Jesus paid on the cross. It's our justification. It's our propitiation. But not only that, it is a display of righteousness. In other words, God is saying, this is how I am going to pay for the sins of those who have faith in me. The message of the cross. It's what the church should be about, is the preaching of the cross. We should have the cross on display, if you will, as we go out and preach to a lost and dying world, because it's the only way. It's the only way that our sin debt can be paid for. It is the only way that I can have appeasement as I stand before a holy and righteous God. The cross is the centrality of the message of the gospel. And as we start next week's sermon, we'll see where the cross enabled Jesus Christ to be the just and the justifier for those of us who believe in Him. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, we just thank You for the message of the cross. We thank You for its completeness. We thank You, Lord, that You have paid for everyone's debt who has faith in You. I just pray, Lord, that this church may be focused upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would give us boldness to proclaim Your truth. I pray that we might always have the joy of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.